This is JFM Podcast.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It's a beautiful Monday evening, 11th of March 2024. Gilbert, good evening, how's the day? And Ramadan Kareem to you.
Good evening, Ponsak, and Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak to our Muslim brothers and sisters observing the holy month. And you remember Ponsak?
I think this month is holy. Yes. Raise to the power of two.
That's where I, you know, was initially driving at. We spoke about how some of these coincidences occur, and God has a way of designing things, orchestrating things. And, you know, with the situation of the country, I think it's true somehow that, as Governor Zulum said, we need to turn to God when he was addressing, you know, a group of people in Maiduguri a couple of weeks back. And God has presented such an opportunity for us to be able to be thoughtful of those who are in need, to be able to spare a thought also for what the country is going through, basically, and see if his interventions would be anything invaluable for us at such a precious time. And I do believe that there are some things with God in very mysterious fashions, and this is hoping that we experience a better fortune, except that Nigerian politicians would sometimes not allow God, or most of the times not allow God to use them, like we would say in local parlance in the country. So it's time to turn to God. It's Lent, it's Ramadan equally.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert, let me bring people's attention to the tour of local government done by the Commissioner for Local Government and Chieftaincy Affairs, Chief Honorable Ephraim Usman. And I'm going to focus attention on Mangu. Of course, you know that Honorable Marcus Arto is a friend of the House, but not just, you know, being friend of the House, but let's put the issues in proper perspective, Gilbert, so that our listener will, you know, understand where we're coming from. When they were appointed as TIC, Transition Implementation,
Committee Chairman.
Yeah, Chairman. Last year, Mungu all of a sudden went up in flames. It became a very, I would say, a hotbed for fighting, you know, people being there. And let me use the term of Governor Mutfang. He termed it as genocide because the people who were killed, I mean, they've done absolutely nothing to warrant such mayhem on them. Honorable Marcus Arto, you know, maintain composure. Because leaders in such situations, some of them may go berserk, some of them may even get confused as to how to handle the issue. But Honorable Arto, you know, composed himself, and I think that he was ready. I think that he came very prepared. But no matter your preparation, you know that the killings that came. But it's one quality that I see in him. He's a very composed person. Look how composed he was in the face of all that happened, you know, in Mangu, that even warranted Chief Ephraim Usman to say that he's coming, the commissioner, he's coming himself to commission some of the project done by Honorable Marcus Arto. It just shows you that, look at how he won the trust of the people. Win their trust, won their trust, and the project that he did, you know, in Mangu. And according to the report, the commissioner, Chief Ephraim Usman, said that Mangu, in all of his tour, is one of the best that he has seen so far. Honorable Marcus Arto was able to do a motor park in Mangu transformer installation for the electrification of Perka and Pangwes water project, the bridge at Kwahas Bunga, lots of other projects, you know, currently ongoing. One will honorably think that, you know, the security situation will overwhelm the man. Honorable Atro. But look at how composed he was, and even doing, and I'm very sure that there are huge intervention that he has done when it comes to education, you know, because of want of time, we can't mention one by one what he has done, Gilbert.
Yeah, true. And to look at the situation, you know, especially with regards to the disaster, human orchestrated disaster that befell Mangu local government, I think for some other politicians, it would be good reason to just lay low and not put in the work as it's expected or as it's required. And just to do, you know, to put the issues side by side, Benue people at some point complained about the fact that, you know, there weren't projects ongoing in that state. Then the salaries weren't being paid under Governor Samuel Otom. And if questions were asked, his excuse would be that, look, they're killing our people. You know, you aren't paying salaries. You aren't doing projects. They're killing our people. But to look at, you know, the way the situation is, especially with the similarities of the problems that bedeviled, you know, the two individuals, and the fact that someone who is a TIC chairman and was able to stay composed and carry out some of these projects just how many months into the administration. So it means he's visionary, he's someone who is foresighted and just focused to be able to ensure that the people's well-being is the top priority for him.
Well, you know, Gilbert, talking about, you know, salaries, Honorable Artu cleared all teacher salaries in Mangu local government, all. And I'm yet to, anybody can challenge me on that. So, I mean, it's good. Those are the kind of leaders, you know, that we want. Before, because if you come to office, anything may happen. Anything may happen, but it's your composure, your focus, and the purpose at which you occupy that office. That is what is going to make you, you know, stand strong, and that is what is going to help you to keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, well, good job, Honorable Marcus Artu, but we want more.
Yeah, the people would always want more.
We want more.
And government is nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, as the days go by, challenges evolve and the people's needs also increase. It's basically part of human existence.
Yeah.
But do ensure that you stay on track and continue to deliver.
We want more. Well, Gilbert, what story have you followed over there?
Senator Abdul Ningi, have you seen that? And the rebuttal by the presidency.
Bayo Onanuga.
Yes, Bayo Onanuga particularly, about the anti-not claims of the budget and some of the double standards and padding, basically, of the budgets that the man raised alongside members of the Northern Senators Forum, where he claimed that the budget passed into law is 27.5 trillion naira, and the budget being correctly operated is 25 trillion naira, as against the initial 27.5 trillion, naira. 28.7 trillion naira. Yeah, so it's not the first time that we're coming to hear, you know, the issues of budget padding. You remember under Speaker Dogara and Bukola Saraki, some of these issues came up, that, and there were allegations that the budget was padded and all of that. Basically, padding is inflating the figures of the budget and ensuring that you just deliver substandard and make away or go away with parts of the money and all of that. But the integrity of the government now comes to bear, and the fact that that statement was put out to deny some of these claims. How well has the government proven itself over time, and how should Nigerians react to some of this information that you're doing the wrong thing, as against you trying to, you know, just make over some of the positions that you have taken and all of that? So integrity is the key word for me. For example, if you say a certain Anini's name appears on the list of an investigation, what comes to your mind do you get? And this is, I mean, for me, government has to be meticulous in tendering excuses, you know, in trying to put up defenses. And it means that you're just twice have to go in to do the job in terms of purging your image and coming clean and clear on some issues that people think you're wrong and not to attack the personality of even the person raising the allegation. Because for me, if you ask me, the man is doing his job as a senator. He isn't sleeping.
He would have. Gilbert, yes. I kind of disagree, you know, with you on this point.
Okay.
He should have brought it for debate at the floor of the Red Chamber, not presenting it to the BBC House of Service. You know, it should.
But he's a spokesperson.
I do understand, but bring it before
of all the caucus of the Senate.
Yes. So bring it before the Senate. Premise. Yeah, no, bring it before the Senate. You taking it to the BBC House of what service, of what benefit?
Bonsack Abdul Ninge is of the PDP.
I do understand.
Good. And you know what the power of majority can do at the National Assembly and even all levels of the legislature.
But they allow you to speak, Gilbert. All what I'm saying is that this whole issue, you know, I don't want political coloration to it. Abdul Ninge is not a first time saying. He knows exactly what he's doing. Why bring taking it to the BBC House of Service and say that, no, this... When Abdul Mumin Jubrin, during the time of Yakubu Dogara, alleged that the budget was padded, he was given fear. He presented it before the House of Reps. And when investigation was done and nothing of that nature, he was suspended 180 legislative days. What I'm saying is that because it's making rubbish of the masses. It's like we reading the stories, we don't know what's going on. I think that, you know, they shouldn't try to paint us as if we're stupid. We don't know what is going on. If there's at all any, and mind you, the Senate has the power to impeach the president if he has gone against our constitution. So I think
but
that...
But under the constitution, under the same constitution, do you ever think that will happen?
I think that life is dynamic and anything can happen. We shouldn't always say that that will not happen in Nigeria. No. We're evolving as a people. A time will come in this country that a president will be impeached. I mean, the president is not a super human being.
But we have a history. You just look
at... Every society. But that is why I think that time is linear. Time is not circular. I mean, we're making progress. A generation will rise up in this country to say and be, truly accept the doctrines and tenets of how a democratic society should function. But what we have here, well, it's not the best of what we can get.
That sums it up.
Yeah, but what can we do?
Yeah.
We should keep hope. And, so what I'm saying, because both Onanuga and Abdul Ninge, I think that they're playing politics. Abdul Ninge knows exactly what he's doing. But present the issue and say, okay, what are some of the ministries, departments, and agencies that the budget was padded? And look at what he said. He said 20, how many trillion? But we know that the president last year presented a budget of 28.7.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was passed was 27.5
trillion. Yeah.
Yes. And what he's saying is 25 trillion naira is currently being, you know, implemented. So it means there is, and this is a highly, should I even call it a criminal offense, you know, as a, against what the constitution stipulates, for you to present an entirely different budget and go on to present, to implement an entirely different part of the budget. Now, that's a huge allegation. And Ponsak, for me, what the man has said, if it's wrong, it should in fact be investigated, regardless of how or where he said it. And in the end, if he's right, I think he's going to be a hero in the, under this particular democracy we practice.
Yeah, well,
but we should just cut him a slack at the moment, because what he has done, if in fact there is any truth to it, then he deserves so much credit. And sometimes you need gadflies like this for society to be able to be on track and for people to know that, hey, whatever it is you're doing, someone is watching.
My issue is presented before the House.
So however he presented, I think I'm
senators
okay with it.
Will debate and... because Onanuga is not a senator. It's just a presidential spokesman. One of them.
Yes.
Abdul Ninge is a senator. And they are the ones who, you know, invited MDs to come and defend the budget. So I'm saying that you should, you know, say, okay, I think that there's a problem. I think that we're not... present your facts. Don't make wild allegation. Because if you ask me, there's a wild allegation. You know,
he's speaking for the Northern Senators Caucus. And under that umbrella, you'd have senators from under the APC, PDP, PRP, wherever, regardless of their political parties. What they are saying is they are of the Northern Bloc in the Senate. But as time goes on, I'm sure a lot of facts will be able to, you know, come out of this conversation, and we'll get to know where it ends.
Let's just hope. If there's any infraction against, you know, don't our constitution, I want the law to take its due course.
True. Yeah.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Plateau State Polytechnic and all of the issues therein. The findings we did was that students prefer other polytechnics in neighboring states instead of, you know, the one we have on the plateau. What could be the problem? I'm thankful that we have an erudite, you know, rector that is manning the affairs of the polytechnic now, and he's going to lay his ideas bare before you in this conversation after the break. Stay here.
Every day, political stories fill our airways.
Morning, the national chairman of the police community relations.
From the regular,
it is time for us to unite and move the state forward.
To the absurd,
the Senate president has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they will say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral. And then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and dashed people money. Dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, glad you're still here. The program is Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Like I said before the break, we have the rector of the Plateau State Polytechnic, Dr. Clement Chermani, is here with us. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming.
Good evening, Ponsak. Good evening, Gilbert. And good evening, listeners.
Yeah, well,
thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for coming. Well, let me just narrate something that a little research I did, you know, just within this office.
Yes.
Anytime interns will come, you know, to intern for their, I think they call it industrial attachment or CWS, I don't know. And if I ask what school, you know, are they coming from? And if I see names, you know, from Plateau or from neighboring state, most especially names from Plateau, they will tell me that they are coming from Federal Polytechnic Bauchi. And then I'll ask, Abba, why can't you just, instead of, you know, wasting transport, rent, and, you know, your parents with this, they'll say that, no, they prefer Bauchi because, you know, things, the school calendar is very flexible and is, you know, smooth running. And then, you know, that kept me bothered. I said, if our people here cannot take advantage, you know, of this higher education, it seems, it shows that there's a problem. And then, you know, I start asking some friends who work with the Plateau State Polytechnic, you know, as lecturers and teachers, what is going on? And then they began, you know, telling me a lot of issues that time will not allow me to mention. Since your appointment as rector, what are you doing to make sure that people who finish secondary school, instead of going to neighboring states for higher education, they will prefer Plateau State Polytechnic? Because, I mean, it's one of the best in the country. I think Plateau State is one of even the oldest, 1976.
Yeah. 1978.
78, okay. It's one of the oldest we have in Nigeria. Mm. What are you doing, Dr. Chairman, to make sure that, you know, students stay back in Plateau and get higher education? And life, you know, will be very easy and smooth for them.
Thank you very much, Ponsak. I am happy that you've engaged me on this issue, and we should be able to discuss it, to tell you the facts on ground, and to also let the public know what we are doing to bring back the polytechnic to its former glory. As you rightly said, Plateau State College of Technology was established in 1978. 1978 by the then military leadership of Group Captain Ansu Lehman.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1980 that it was met a full-fledged polytechnic. And you know, the main objective of polytechnic education is to promote technical education and training. Apart from that, it is also to help in developing human resources by nurturing a skilled workforce and improving industrial productivity. Plateau State Polytechnic, as you rightly said, stood very high in those days. And it might interest you to know that there was a time in this country that Plateau State Polytechnic was one of the most preferred institution that candidates would prefer to come.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was a time when we would have to contend with the number of students seeking admission into Plateau State Polytechnic. The trend is not the same today. And I think that is the issue we may interrogate here today. And also to tell you that His Excellency, the government, the governor of Plateau State is concerned about the situation. The people of Plateau State are concerned about the situation. And the recent change in leadership of the tertiary, some tertiary institutions in the state is to help revamp the tertiary sector and to take us to where we used to be. Let me take you through the history so that you will know. There was a time that Plateau State Polytechnic was ranked 60 in the country.
Wow.
Yes, Plateau State Polytechnic in the whole of this country in terms of standard, because we were known for a culture of academic excellence.
Mm.
In northern Nigeria, it was only Kaduna Polytechnic that was ahead of us. All these other neighboring polytechnics you're talking about were not close to where Plateau State Polytechnic used to be.
Mm.
In recent years, we have witnessed a reverse in our success story. And you are right that the student population has dwindled. Many candidates prefer to go to other polytechnics, not necessarily because we don't have the human resource capacity.
Yeah, what they always tell me, Dr. Chairman, is that strike.
Yes.
That is because of strike, you know.
Yes.
A program of, say, 2 years, it will take them 4 years, and, you know, that they are tired, you know, their life has been tied down.
Yes. There are a combination of factors.
Okay.
And the issue of strike is there. And students do complain, really, that because of spontaneous industrial actions on the plateau, and particularly the tertiary sector, they would come in and they wouldn't know when they will be leaving.
Yeah.
So they prefer to go to other places. Those are stories of yesteryears. And that's why we need to enlighten the students to know what is happening in Plateau State today. And particularly the new pitch that is about to be opened in Plateau State Polytechnic.
Please give us that exclusive information. What pitch is that so that our students will be very happy?
You see, Our happy story is that we have a government that is all listening. You go on strike when you have issues.
Mm.
But in this government, the government of Barrister Caleb Mutfong on the plateau, you may have little reason, you may not have any significant reason to go on strike. Usually, you go on strike when government does not take time to listen to your complaints, your grievances, or government fails to attend to your basic needs, your rights. But in Plateau State today, we have a government that is all listening, a government that is providing all the needs of the workers, a government that has special interest in tertiary education and has done a lot, even within the shortest time it has been on the throne. So there may be no any reason really to contemplate going on strike. So the era of strike may soon be over in Plateau State. And all those who lost confidence in our institutions because of a constant strike may have to understand that that era is over. We are now trying to build confidence. We are now trying to make the people to come back and do and school at home in a very conducive and peaceful environment. That is the gospel we intend to take across. That is the gospel we want Plateau people to know, and not just Plateau people around to know about it and to come and participate in what we have to deliver in Plateau State Polytechnic. The Polytechnic, you know, there was a time we used to have candidates coming from Lagos,
all over the country,
Kano, everywhere coming even to school, countries. Even Bauchi coming to school in Plateau State. So some years back, as I stated earlier, we had those challenges. But I want to tell you that beginning from June last year up till now, there may be no any reason. We don't have any reason to embark on strike.
So tell us what the governor is doing specifically to bring harmony between labor, especially as it affects a polytechnic, labor and government, to have smooth running. Because I'm very happy that if you look at if someone thinks critically about what you're saying, the heart of, you know, Plateau State Polytechnic is supposed to be for the students.
Yes.
And as a rector, you know, you have placed the interest of the student above everybody else's, you know, interest. Talk to us about what the government specifically is doing to bring industrial harmony between the union and the management in the polytechnic.
Ponsak, it might interest you to know that I was a union leader.
No wonder.
Yes, I had served as the chairman of ASUP in Plateau State Polytechnic. Okay. I'd also served as chairman of JUPTI,
yeah,
in the entire state, and I had also served as a national officer of ASUP. Mm. So I'm familiar with the demands of the labor. What usually causes the friction is when you have challenges on one, issues of emoluments, issues of the legitimate right of workers, and when the working environment is not conducive. It is when you are confronted with these challenges that the workers will have time now to begin to make agitations leading to strikes. Mm. But when this government came, you remember there were outstanding salaries that were unpaid. The salaries that were unpaid, this government cleared.
How many months?
I think about 5 months or so, about 5 months' salaries this government cleared.
Yeah.
And the government has continued to pay salaries as at when due. That is the number one concern of a worker. That is being done, that is being paid. Mm. Two, Plateau State government has paid a lot of interest in tertiary education. You know, government recently released money to virtually all the institutions, state-owned institutions that are due for accreditation. Millions of naira were released to these institutions to carry out the accreditation. Plateau State Polytechnic had a little challenge, but our accreditation will be coming up on the 24th of this month. We're expecting a team from the National Board for Technical Education in Kaduna to come and do accreditation in our school. Apart from that, Governor Mutfong has been able to attend to other needs of the institution. Let me announce to you that when the last employment was done to bridge the gap in manpower needs, a lot of irregularities characterized that exercise, and it was not done to reflect the sanctity of a tertiary sector, particularly as it affects tertiary institutions. There was a lot of criticism. People did not like it, and the employment was canceled for tertiary institutions. Mm. But as I talk to you now, government has given us express permission to do recruitment. maybe by tomorrow or next, you will see advertisements for positions for recruitment of persons into Plateau State Polytechnic.
Thank you for giving us this exclusive information. And it's good news.
Yes, it's good news.
Yeah. So from tomorrow, if you're qualified, the portal will be open.
Yes.
And then you can apply to be employed at the Plateau State Polytechnic. Yes, please go ahead. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, either as news. A lecturer or a non-academic staff, if you are qualified, we go through the normal process. Mm. If you are qualified, you will be employed. So if government is doing all these things, it means the enabling environment has been created. And it means the atmosphere for learning is already there. And there will be no need for people to run up and down again seeking to get other environment where they will school more than this. I want to tell you that even within the short period of time we came, I've been there for 1 month now as the acting rector of the institution. Within this 1 month, we have geared up efforts to bring back our students to the school. And I want to tell you that I was just checking the admission the admission list, and then to see the number of students we have, there is an increment. By the next admission, I want to give you the assurance that Plateau State Polytechnic will bubble again.
Wow.
More candidates will come to Plateau State Polytechnic, and what they miss in those days, in recent years, they will have the confidence to clap their hands and to say that what they lost is already here.
Yeah.
So there will be no need for anybody to
travel anywhere.
Travel anywhere to go and school. Everything is now in place. And I want to tell you, Plateau State Polytechnic will be will witness another heavy traffic of students.
We can't wait for that traffic, because in itself the economic activities of the states will bubble.
Yes.
You know, when you have people coming from all over the country study in Plateau State. But employment, particularly you are set to, you know, advertise from tomorrow.
Yes.
In time past, I remember, I can't even count the number of times that ad hoc staff of the Polytechnic have had to protest, you know, the inability of the past administration, that is of the institution, if you permit that, you know, to allow for them to say, you know, to attempt or to have a go at employment in the institution. And some of these people said they have served there for close to 20 years, for close to even 25 years, some people say. And you have certain individuals who also came out to say, look, there are students that I lectured. In fact, some of the students, according to them, haven't even graduated, but they have been employed in the institution anyway. You know, so some of these things are the issues that you also have to address. And then, secondly, the issue of infrastructure. There has also been an allegation that lecturers and students have to even go outside, you know, open field for convenience and all of that. What are the efforts you intend to put in
place? On the issue of employment and the fears of people who have been on part-time or casual workers, efforts have been met, and in the next round of employment we will do, you will see a reflection of that. We are not saying that everybody who is on part-time must be employed, but those who are qualified must be given preference. It is actually unfair for somebody to dedicate himself to put in a number of years working for a system, and when the need arises to bring a person, you allow the person to stay aside, you go and take another person to bring. You know, the frustration will be there, the agitation will be there. We have the instruction to ensure justice is done in this employment. It will be opened. It is not going to be an exercise that will be based on the who do you know, but your papers, your credentials, your ability will speak for you. And that is what we are going to do. Remember, this is a tertiary institution where we are entrusted with the future of the younger ones in our hands, and we must not disappoint. So the story of people being sidelined, people being marginalized, people being denied opportunity to have access to CAM is the story of the old page. But what we intend to do in the new era is to ensure proper things. And that is why I told you that we will ensure that
the normal process is followed in the employment of the people we are going to make. I want to tell those who have been on casual employment or part-time employment for years that those of them that have remained dedicated to their service, they are free to apply, and once they are found appointable, they are found appointable, nobody will deny them the right to come and work into the polytechnic. On the issue of infrastructures, that is one of the challenges we have. The infrastructures over the years decayed, and it's because of neglect, but we have a promising future coming up. Government has expressed desire to provide a conducive working environment for both staff and students, and we're working to address that. And we have the advantage, we have the advantage of reaping many things at the same time. We have TED Fund intervening in most of our programs, of our infrastructures in the school. We have state government willing to come in, and then we will have to develop our own effort from within, from our own internally generated revenue, to see how we'll put all these things together, including some of these things you've mentioned. And I want you to believe with me that we will better be assessed. Maybe by the end of the year, when you come there, you will see changes in the polytechnic. And when JFM is there, you assessed, you will say indeed.
We'll hold you by your words.
Yes,
sir.
I challenge you to come and hold us by my words, exactly. And then to see the new things that will be happening there. We have a system that will work, and we understand the system. You should also know that I have spent the whole of my life in the polytechnic.
Interesting.
Yes, I began my working career as an assistant lecturer, went through the ranks to the position of a chief lecturer. I understand the system. I know my polytechnic. I know the problems of the system. I know what the people want. I know what I should do in order to improve, to bring value to the institution. And with a government that is willing to listen to us, I don't think there's nothing we cannot achieve. We are also making efforts to address some of the basic problems, particularly in Jos Campus. Problems relating to office accommodation and providing conveniences for students. We will do all these things to ensure our school resembles a tertiary institution.
At the heart of
Jos. And we're going to take that very seriously. Take this from me.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let's open the phone lines in case just tuning in. We've been having a chat with the rector of Plateau State Polytechnic.
Acting rector.
We pray that you become substantive rector. <son. laughs>
Thank you.
Yeah, acting rector of the Plateau State Polytechnic, Dr. Clement Cherman. And we're asking him about his ideas, you know, to bring the Plateau State Polytechnic that was established in 1979 back to life again, so that students will not migrate to other places in search of higher education. We have it here: quality, convenience, and of course the overall best. You can join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 081-2187-7777 or you call 090-5566-6699.
Go to Facebook and drop your comments on JFM Live on X at JFM Jos.
Yes, let's take the first call. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling. We got too late. Sorry about that. Thank you for calling. Okay, we got too late. 081-2187-7777. Or you call 090-5566-6699. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, thank you for calling. Hello. Tell us it. Yeah, thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
How are you, Bonsack?
Yeah, I'm fine. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, my name is Joseph Adigio. I'm calling from Jos.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I just want to make a comment regarding the budget padding raised by Abdul Nindi. And it's so unfortunate that the politicians always want to fly a child. And then they leave us with the confusion. Unfortunately, democracy, which has to do with people and mass participation that encourages transparency and accountability, is lacking. We are not a people that are given to subjective issues to scrutiny, and also not take history into account. Whatever the man must say, ordinarily, you and I know we don't even need a spokesman of the president to tell us how much was presented as budget estimate, which is 27.5 trillion. And the same National Assembly, after going through, added another 1.2. So I think the pardon first came from that step. Because there is no law that guarantees the National Assembly to ask or reduce an estimate from the executive. So I think what Gilbert has said is that I want to align with him. There should be a thorough investigation. And thank God his colleagues are taking up the issue and will be presented to the President and Ethics Committee. I think there is more to it than meets the eye. And that thing should be thoroughly investigated. That is my position.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening.
Thank you for calling. Join the conversation. Tell us your name, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Sadiq Umar. I'm calling from TJ and T Junction.
We're listening, sir.
Yes, I will comment your guest. You have spoken very, very well. And you have talked much more about the Plateau State Polytechnic. You see, the issue happening.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, are you hearing me?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, the issue happening in.
All right, maybe you call us back when you get a chance because we can. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Very good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name and join the conversation, please.
Thank you very much for starting up. I greet Joseph Gilbert and the guests.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for starting. God always, I pray that God always bless you for bringing people on a very offensive issues like that. I'm a product of Polytechnic, that is a Polytechnic. You see, for that, I'm aware that some of the Plateau citizens decided to go to Bauchi because there was no bridging in Bauchi. I'm aware of that. There was no bridging. That's if you have OND, you must bridge. And it's what we have. So some, if you ask some of the students, that's what took them to Bauchi. And again, issue of strike, that's why it's true. You know, but I pity us here on the plateau. Like today, we have a working governor who prioritizes education on the plateau. I want to make an example with what happened in the middle class local government strike. I kept asking them what was the reason of the strike. The reasons that they were bringing was not enough for them to have just gone for strike. This man came in a very, and he came in a very critical moment. They were feeling insecurity almost taking over everywhere. So I thought that they would have a class session with the man, but they failed to do that. Some of the students resumed recently. I don't actually know how they expect them to come. Well, this is our step. And I will urge the Plateau citizens, let us always reason in some situation. I'm not saying that strike is good. I'm not saying that we should not express our displeasure, the attitude of the government. But as far as I'm concerned, Barista Kala Manasa Mutam, the governor of Kakistan, is a governor with integrity of which is carrying every sector along. Let's pray that we will understand on the flag. And the rector, advise the rector, have a harmonious working relationship with us so that it's looking like strike again. Some of the strike is between the leadership of the institution and the national sometimes. So I will advise the rector, please have a harmonious working relationship with us. For that, I have problems. How did they share the fertilizer on the plateau? This is the farmer. The farmer didn't access the fertilizer. I want that to be explained vividly. Bring them on board. Let them explain how they share the fertilizer. I have a problem about that. I will continue to say that we should get a good report about the sharing of the fertilizer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thought with us. Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good morning, Ponsak.
It's evening. I don't know which part of the world you're calling, but thank you. Tell us your name and join the conversation.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name, join the conversation.
Hello?
Go ahead. I can hear you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Yeah.
Yes, honestly speaking.
Tell us your name, sir. Hello?
I'm Tito from Gadabin.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Honestly speaking, the director has spoken wonderfully well. Honestly speaking, outlining some factors that has made many indigenous in Plateau State never love Plateau fully and always go to Bauchi Polytechnic. You understand? Let me tell you, I'm not from this state, but particularly in this Plateau State, there is this kind of hypocrisy. You understand? We love to praise people as his administration, governors that never performed. You understand? We never love to say the truth. Honestly speaking, see what director has said. How many months of salary was withheld? That we keep praising the past administration, praising the past governor. Up to today, people are still praising Dare and Lalo, who did not do anything for Plateau State. I'm not from Plateau State, I'm from River State. But I will tell you the truth. Because of this, we are fond of hypocrisy in Plateau State. See, Jank, who did so many things. People are accusing up to today. People are accusing, but this is a governor that so much did so much in Plateau State. And these are governors that did nothing for Plateau State. They are praising them. I see what they did to completely down Plateau Poly, these two governors. See infrastructures. See salary that were not paid. See so many things, accreditation that are not paid. See what the rector is revealing, that Lalo and the Dare, I need no apology, honestly speaking.
Yeah, but to set the record, to set this record straight, gentle, he didn't mention anybody, any past governor's name. He didn't mention anybody's name.
He did not mention anybody. I'm in Plateau State, and he knew how these two governors never performed in Plateau State. I see what the rector is saying. Governor that just came in is not up to a year. See what he has done or doing. Is it the problem? So definitely what the rector is saying, Plateau Poly will come into better position in Nigeria, honestly speaking, because of what the governor. I'm not a stranger in Plateau State. I have stayed long, right from Fidelis top group. I was in Plateau State. So nobody will tell me history of Plateau State or governor of Plateau State. Nobody. I did not say that the rector mentioned their name. I know it, that these two governors especially never performed. They cripple everything in Plateau State. What did Lalo? Okay.
Thank you. Let's thank you. This is much we'll take. Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless you and Gilbert.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you so much. Gilbert, take us through social media.
Let's look at X. Izankasi says, good evening, Sunset. My rector, sir, congratulations for your appointment as the rector of Plateau State Polytechnic. Yeah. We, the students, are pleading with you, sir. Do something tangible in our institution so that your name will be written on gold, on board or in gold. Dogonyaro David Nanjul says, great work, guys. Good evening. And Hong Kawen says, I wish I could tune in, but my location is far from Jos. The truth is, morale is low. I regretted doing my higher education in Jos after NYSC. Reason is that most of my friends during their service year collected their certificates and transcripts and applied for. Oh, this tweet is not complete. Nosiango Gongjon says, I just hope that government will actually look into the issue in the polytechnic. I strongly believe this government is people-oriented. All the strikes and poor staff welfare will be looked into. On the issue of budget pardon from the north, this clearly shows the level of corruption in Nigeria. And Mangai Peter Katting says, good evening, sir. Please, what can you say about the conception around town that girls don't have to study hard in the institution before having good grades. All they need is to cooperate with staff in order to graduate, or where people say every bar you go, in just you'll find staff and students. On Facebook, Felkuka Gon says, I so much love this topic, and it's good that the guest is the rector of the Plateau State Polytechnic, because the education under that institution has been under decay for 18 and above years now, which lets many students to go to other neighboring states like Bauchi and Kaduna. I pray God will grant him the grace to change the narrative. Amen. Izank Asi says, seriously, our government doesn't value education in this country simply because their children are studying abroad. Please, Nigerian government, do something tangible about higher education in this country. Godwin Sule says, our major problem in this country is strike. That is why students are searching for better institutions where there will not be strike always. May God help our education background with the young people. Our leaders keep telling us we are the leaders of tomorrow, but we don't see it like that. They keep ruling us without taking us along. Principal Joseph Melumo says, lack of priority and continuity by the government is affecting the tertiary education on the Plateau negatively. Imagine the state of Plateau State University presently. Most of the projects are built by TET Fund. The consistent strike by the academic and non-academic staff is affecting the tertiary education negatively. Go to Nasarawa State University and see the big difference. Julius Achigak has this to say. Students migrate from Plateau State to other states in search of higher education because of strikes, high school fees, and quality of education. The government on the Plateau should handle the issue of strikes, high school fees, and improve the quality of education in the state. Ishaku Lino says, it's often said that education is the bedrock of national development. Therefore, for any society to develop, it must invest heavily in education. People migrating to other societies in search of quality education signifies that the government is not living up to the expectation of the people. So I think that the government should do more on education in order to win back the trust of the people. Steve Tongpam Zulong says, I pray that the new rector of Plateau State Polytechnic will change the narrative. I wish the rector all the best of working relationship with his co-workers. I love your program. I come in peace. Thank you. Kaneng Annabel Davo says, from the small discussion I had with some of my friends who are schooling in other polytechnics, I noticed their concerns about strikes. But most importantly, they told me that getting certificates from these polytechnics are very easy. But here, small thing, na carry over. Victor Barje says, I salute my rector in the building. My question goes direct to my rector, okay, about the state student government palliative, which almost all the state students that applied in the institutions, but there's only a few individuals that have seen a lot. Why, please? Okay, I'm not quite sure I got that, but perhaps he has more knowledge. Loms, David Danlaji says, what makes students migrate to other places is that they're afraid of incessant strikes. Anna Dagala Olasage says, thank you for bringing the important issue on board. The Plateau State government needs to help in the issue of strike because it takes the students backwards in their education. Out of time.
Yeah, well, Dr. Clement Sharma, please, you've heard from what the audience, you know, have said. Please, what's your response in just a minute? I know that it's impossible. You can do it.
Well, the summary of all the concern is on the issue of strike, and that is what I've taken time to address. I told you that the workers will only make agitation when there's a reason for it. But this time around in this government so far, what this government has done has provided a very clear evidence that there will be no need to even go on strike. So students, our candidates are now free. They have the assurance to come back and school at home. I want to give you the assurance. Let me say this loud and clear, that we will try to ensure that we have smooth sessions. We will try to ensure that we give the students what they want, and we will try to ensure that we create a culture of academic renaissance. And all the stories of yesteryears will no longer be there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Clement Cherman, the acting rector of Plateau State Polytechnic. Wish you all the very best. May all of your innovative ideas come to fruition for the benefit of the students, number one. And I'm happy that you have that at the back of your heart as a guiding principle and a guiding value, and then the staff as well. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, go by the final
word. Please drink water. Drink water like you mean it. The weather is just not easy to deal with, but drink and drink more water.
Yeah, for our Muslim brothers and sisters, I pray that God will give you his rahama, special one for you to tap from all the blessings in this holy month of Ramadan, because the weather is not friendly. But of course, we have to do what God has asked us to do. My name is Ponsak Fanab. The news will come your way above the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.